Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Honey, I'm not a swinger. I'm the whole playground.
Oh.
You like that?
Yeah, that was good. I wasn't expecting that.
I may look like a bunny, but try me and you'll find I'm all black diamond, baby.
Oh. There you go. I know. I was trying to make mine about skiing a little bit.
I knew there some... So often they are always the same.
The one I had come up with was, it's not goodbye, it's ski later. But I like mine much better.
That's crazy.
Anyway, this is Privileged
Drink. Yeah. Wait.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Travis.
And this is Privileged Drink.
Yeah. A podcast where we recap The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City,
which is in the state of Utah, almost in city.
The great square state of Utah.
Apologize. Woke up.
Apologize. Apologize now.
I meant to say I want to apologize. Okay, so this week, if you are just catching up, we are recapping season one because we never got to do that. Because we actually started our podcast with season 2, episode 1. So while we're on this off season, we're deciding to go back and rewatch these things that we watched 4 years ago and recap it. So this is episode 2 of season 1. I figured I would do like a couple, like maybe right at the top here, just kind of say a little bit of what's in the episode so people know. If they didn't watch it, which one we're talking about. So this one is directly following Meredith's birthday party, quote unquote, at Jen's house that we know costs a ton of money. Mary and Jen are mid-fight. It was to be continued from the last episode. And we end this episode, the girls go skiing, and we end this episode at a dinner party, or I guess like not a party, a dinner from right post after the skiing. So at the ski lodge. So that's what happens on this episode. And I did have a couple things I think we should talk about before.
Ooh, do tell.
So supposedly Mary and Whitney talk every day now and call each other on the phone every day.
Like 2024?
Like right now, yes. Which is interesting because that parallels with what is happening in season one. They're very buddy-buddy.
A surprising turn of events.
You know what? I do like them when they're together, like when they're having a good time together.
Yeah.
And plus, like, I think...
It's just very confusing, the dynamic they've had the past couple of years. Although, I mean...
It seems like Mary doesn't even really have her church right now. So maybe that has something to do with...
She doesn't have her church?
Remember when she was on Watch What Happens Live, Andy asked like what her church looks like right now, and she said they don't meet right now.
Oh, I missed that.
Andy said, like, what's your congregation like today? And she said there isn't really one.
Oh.
So
she's kind of out of her marriage a little bit, out of her church a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's things like allowing them to be back.
Although I really, you know, at the time, I have to say, season 3 is when
she wasn't there.
Okay. She wasn't there season 3. Okay. Season 2 is when they do the big, all the accusations about her.
Yeah.
And that was the first one we watched. No, not the first one we watched. The first one we recapped. But like, I don't know. Maybe in hindsight, it was much worse than thinking about it. I'm like, that was really bad for her. But I guess because she's such an odd situation. with her family stuff, mm-hmm. and it's all kind of a little salacious. And people, you know, I don't know, but just, I was like, why, if they were so buddy-buddy, like, why did they, she, like, cut her off so instantly? But I'm like, she did say some really bad things about her.
Yeah.
So.
Also, it's like, even if from an outside perspective, you think that church looks like a cult, okay, it's just that they were, it's just that they a little bit too much worshipped Mary. That's what it seemed like. Not, like, necessarily in their minds who they're worshipping is Mary, but just how it comes off was very, like, everyone was, like, crying and saying they love her and stuff like that. And so it did seem a little bit like, instead of what she was preaching about, it was like they were there for her. But I don't think, like, I know there's a lot of churches where there's, like, a lot of yelling and crying and, like, well, emotional.
But it's also just, like, personality leaders. Like, Joel Osteen.
Yeah, that too. Yeah,
people,
sure.
Like, how many people go there because...
Because of him.
Yeah. And it's a big event and a to-do.
Yeah.
And all that.
So it's not like Mary's, like, the first person to be, like, a celebrity preacher or whatever.
Right. In hindsight, what I guess what I'm thinking now is that I think... The whole thing is such an accusation that it should have been switched to, like, not that they would have done this on the show, but it should have been more like before people pass judgment on it, like actually interview people from her, like in a more serious fashion, like talk to people from the church and be like, what is it like? What's going on? Before you be like, because it does proceed. Like,
they go twice and then they say she's.
You see one person say something a little, saying somebody that is a facsimile of God is a. An interesting thing to say.
I forgot they said that, yeah.
You know, there were questionable things, mm-hmm. but it is a reality, like a housewife show, and it was very short, and I don't know. Wow. I didn't expect to go down a Mary rabbit hole.
Well, she is a big player in this season.
I know.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was, I just felt like we should mention that we're watching Traitors.
Oh,
and yes. Say if you're not watching it, definitely watch it. And maybe we could do like a little spoiler alert of what we are thinking so far. Because I feel like a lot of people who watch Housewives are watching this season.
It's so juicy and delicious.
It is. We, again, spoiler, fast forward a couple minutes if you don't want to hear this part. But we are about to uncover, literally tomorrow, if Peter decides to say he wants to be a traitor or not. So that's where we are in the show.
Mm-hmm.
It is so good. Phaedra is just a perfect person to be on the show A and B to be a traitor.
I thought that was such a good idea to mix like competition reality show people and non-competition reality show people, because they both have personalities. But they're just, the way they move is a little different. And it's such an interesting mix.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all a mind games, and that's what Housewives is.
But they're different types of mind games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, no wonder they're good at it, is what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know that they're all good
at it. They have to come, well, not all.
Phaedra is good at it.
You have to come down, make up a storyline, and sit at dinner, basically. It's like very Housewives.
Yeah. But just the people like trying to pin each other down, watching like people wiggle out of like scrutiny. So, some people flying completely under the radar for the most part. It's like, it's just fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend watching.
Also, a good example of people being so confidently incorrect all the time and then not taking that feat. Like when they are incorrect, actually, they don't. Adjust. They just keep barreling.
My favorite person on the show is Sheree, because not really, but because A, I don't think she knows what's going on. B, she always votes with the group, and for the most part, they've all been wrong. And C,
but she famously didn't vote with the group one time. Anyways, keep going.
She famously didn't.
Yeah,
that's true. But every time she has voted with the group, and they send home a non-traitor. She's like, guys, we have to do better. It's like, bitch, you did this.
Yeah, well, somebody has to say it.
She's
just doing her job.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
She's going to be gagged when she finds out it's Phaedra.
That's true.
Anyways.
I'm excited for that. Also, I'm like, how many episodes are there? Because there's like 80 people left.
Yeah, I don't know. And they're trying to get a new traitor. Like,
they're trying to get a new traitor. They just brought in what's her face from Below Deck.
Right.
So there's like, they've gotten rid of like 4 people but brought one on. Mm-hmm. And also last week no one went home.
Somebody did also that when the boxer quit the show. So one extra person.
That's left. True.
And that might be why they replaced the other girl.
That's true.
Okay, but aside from Traitors, which you should watch, it is delicious. I've also noticed, just as a general thing, it's like fascinating to go back to season one because it's only been a couple years, and I feel like it didn't happen this fast. Maybe because Housewives has been around long enough, but the normal to glam pipeline is insane.
Yeah.
Because
even in her confessionals, Lisa looks like not great.
You can tell. Yes, Mama's got round the clock glam now.
Yeah.
Meredith looks positively pedestrian at times.
No,
when I say that, I mean, she looks like a normal person.
Yeah, that's
because she's just got like, she doesn't look like she just had her hair like.
That's because Brooks was blown the whole out. Glam team at the time.
I know. That's what I'm. Well, I'm just saying she just looked like more of a normal person.
Yeah.
And Whitney, I keep looking at Whitney being like something like, did she do something? And I'm like, no, she's just now for after this season, she's just constantly has a like a beat mug. Makeup. Yeah. Like. so all of them.
Whitney is still the most natural beauty of the show.
Yeah.
Even in these ones, she looks like stunning when she's just doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa. And all of their clothes, it's just funny that even if you don't
their
like
clothes are really bad.
Even if you don't like their style, you know, in season 2, 3, 4, you could, but they're always to the nine. If they're always wearing something, even if it's ugly to you, it's still nice.
Yeah.
It's something designer or something like really nice. They're always in good, like they're just always dressed all the way. And in this season, they're hitting, instead of nine, they're hitting like 5 or 6.
This is the season where you can tell she got on TV. Meredith said, I need to get some eccentric things. And she just bought the puffiest coats, or not puffy, the featheriest, fluffiest. Like she always looks like a pom pom on like a toothpick, like at all times in this one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into it, shall we?
Yes, let's do.
Okay, so we start the episode with Jen yelling. I forget how much yelling we have on the show with Jen in it.
Yeah.
Basically throwing a tantrum in the back, calling Mary a bitch. She's talking to her hairstylist right now. She basically is like, you wouldn't tell a kid with cancer you smell like cancer. So why'd you tell me who's been in the hospital that I smell like hospital?
Right. I don't know if those two things equate
exactly,
but
also like this whole fight, Mary's whole thing is she's saying she walked in the room. She probably made a snide comment like, oh, someone's like hospital in here. And then that bitch Carrie told everybody that she said it. So she probably didn't mean it to be.
It's not like she went to Jen and was like, oh, you smell like hospital.
And then like left and was like, oh, I can't be here.
Yeah. It's really not that serious.
Yeah, but Jen's yelling that she is disrespecting her family, that she looks like a goddamn Christmas tree, which she kind of did.
Right. I don't, yeah, it was Joyce.
But it is funny because literally last episode, Jen was like complimenting her look, and then like 2 seconds later, she goes in the back screaming she looks like a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the running to the back screaming she looks like some kind of Christmas comment.
Does this happen again?
Her fucking fat elf on the shelf husband.
Oh, right. Right.
Okay, so then Mary comes, everybody basically is back there now. Mary, I do think it's so funny. Again, you can just tell that they're not ready for how the formula of Housewives works because, like, Whitney's sitting out there with Mary and they're just, like, kind of talking. And Mary's like, you think I should go back there? And Whitney's like, yes, maybe that would be a good idea to go in the back. Like, it's just very, feels like they don't understand the organicness.
Yeah.
Like, in the, now, when you'd be like, yeah, let's fucking go back there. But in the moment, she's like, I do think that would be good.
Yeah. And just like, this party is happening and they're just like huddled in a corner with cameras around them. Just being like,
yeah. So
wait, but also I remember at the beginning of this when she was, can you just imagine being a hairdresser and your client is just back here screaming in your face about something, wow, somebody else you probably don't even know.
She's part of the Shaw squad. I think she's used to it.
Okay. But I just was like, the way she treated her, you know, employees, mm-hmm, anyways, but it's like, I'd be like, okay, let's just calm down.
Right. So then, yeah, I guess they do end up going back there. I do think it's funny. They then cut to Meredith and Whitney and Stu talking.
Right.
Meredith decides to go back there. Basically, Mary's saying, like, I've had all these surgeries. I had to be in the hospital for 30 days. And then Jen's like, you think I don't have a triggering with the hospital? My aunt got her legs cut off and my dad died in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it is kind of like, bitch, you had a cosmetic, seemingly cosmetic surgery. And then I know people have died in there. Like, it just feels like you shouldn't equate the two, Mary.
Right. It wouldn't have been anything for her to just be like, it's triggering to me, but it was an insensitive comment. I'm sorry.
Right.
And just like,
I agree with that. But what we do end up finally coming to is Mary being like, I wouldn't want to hurt you. Jen, I love you. I don't want to hurt you. I'm sorry if I hurt you. And then Jen's like, oh, okay. And they hug.
It was very bizarre. But you know, it's not over.
Right. And even in her confessional, Jen says she thinks it's bullshit. So,
yeah, I don't know. It's such a dumb fight.
Yeah,
that's what I've thought so far about. I mean, I guess maybe I'll think of that about all the fights. At some point, they're all kind of dumb.
The next one is also dumb.
But like, I feel like those first season fights are all especially dumb. But go ahead.
Well, then we cut to like Lisa just like having the time of her life with Brooks. And then Whitney comes up and is like, oh my God, Lisa, hi, how are you? All the blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, our party was so fun. Thank you for having like Beta there and talking about the marriage party thing, vow renewal.
Mm-hmm. Marriage party.
Apparently, the marriage story. Apparently, Lisa had given Whitney a bunch of Vita and two bartenders for this party.
Enough Vita for 500 people.
Supposedly, yes.
Supposedly.
Whitney said the bartenders got really drunk. They were opening bottles that weren't her tequila, including like expensive ones of Justin's. And
but she said,
glass was broken.
But she said they were opening expensive whiskey. Like, well, our tequila is top shelf.
Oh yeah, she said they were opening my top shelf tequila, and she's like, ours is top shelf.
Yeah, I don't think what was it? Vita was like $60 or something. It's more expensive.
It's like the same price as Casamigos,
right? But it is not a $300 bottle of like old whiskey or something.
It's not Clase Azul, which isn't even like that much money compared to some of them, but like that's what I would call a top shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah, one time Travis and I went to a bar when we first moved to LA, and there was a whole wall of mezcal, and Travis was like, oh, that one looks really good, let me look it up before I ask for a shot of it. And he looked it up, and how much was the bottle?
Oh, like 3,000 or 3,000.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, for what?
And these people are rich, so they probably do have bottles like that in their house.
Yeah.
Anyway, the bartenders were being sloppy, like broke things. Whitney was picking them up and all this stuff. So she kind of mentions, like, just so you know, your bartenders were like kind of going shot for shot with the people, and it got messy. Trying to kind of be like, hey, maybe you should tell your bartenders not to do that. But instead, Lisa takes it as like
an insult to her business.
Yeah. Which actually, in the moment, Lisa's like, oh, thanks for telling me all this stuff, blah, blah, blah.
You could tell she was instantly annoyed.
I know. But then, like, 0 seconds later, she goes over to Mary. She's like, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And tell unload.
Well, she also said, I won't work with them again, which makes you think they're not, like, bartenders that she has permanently. She just hired.
Right. So
like,
why are you annoyed?
Right.
It's also on camera.
Yeah.
She keeps mentioning that, like, she's going to, like, she doesn't want to lose her liquor license over this and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, then maybe you should have checked the bartenders before you had them on camera.
Yeah. And also, if somebody's coming to you and saying, like, not like, I don't think it was a throwback in the face of the gift. She's like, these people that you used were not representing you well.
Yeah.
And not that she like feels bad about you for it. They just, maybe you don't want to work with them anymore because they were kind of doing crazy things.
Yeah.
Like that's a good friend move.
Also, when she walked, when Whitney walked up to Lisa, Lisa said, my bartender said they had a great time. She opened the conversation. Whitney might not even have said anything if not for that.
Hmm.
So, and then Whitney was like, yeah, they did.
I don't know. I feel like, this was all very weird. I was like, why are you getting, like, I don't.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with your
brand. I think it maybe is just because it's episode 2. Technically, they might think it's even episode 1 still.
Mm.
And she thinks that her company that no one's heard of is already getting trashed.
Yeah.
That's my thought. Like, that's why she's actually mad.
Okay. And then she leaves the party.
Mm-hmm. And in her confessional, Whitney says she doesn't even drink Vito. She drinks Casamigos. So then...
we can't really find Vita. I mean, I guess maybe in Utah.
I think they took it out of stores.
Yeah.
You can only buy it on their website now, which is smart. Mm-hmm. If you're a housewife, you should have a website-only thing because people watch that show all over the country. If you're not a national brand, then have it on your website and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get it, yes, that one time. And it tasted... low-key worse than Casamigos.
Huh. I mean, the only thing I remember about it was it was sweet. Sweeter than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would say. It's fine. Let's not do that.
I'm just saying I didn't like it as much as some other things I found.
Oh, okay.
But it was good. Okay. It was good for shots, I'll say that, on a bachelor party. So then... the next morning, you're quiet with your opinions about Lisa. You're sitting over here like, let's not go there.
We only had it one time, and I was like, well, let's not trash it. I don't know.
I'm not trashing it. I'm just saying, like, nothing is better.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So then party's over. Cut to the next day. The whole Shaw squad is cleaning the house before Coach gets there. But I think, like, when he comes in, he's like, how many people were here? And she's like, just the girls. And he's like, really?
Yeah.
Really? You have, like, 20 people cleaning the house because it's just the girls?
Yeah. This also seems set up to me in hindsight. Like, if you were really that worried, like, why is it? Like, what time is it? I don't know. It seems like you could have this done before, but I don't know.
Yeah. This was just a little, like, they just show a bunch of like clips of their lives right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney's doing like some kind of exercise class on the pole with Bobby there with her. We see Heather FaceTiming Meredith and they talk about wanting to plan a skiing trip with everybody. Then Lisa is talking to her kids and John and she says she's irritated with Whitney. In fact, she says she's the last person she wants to hang out with on a ski trip. So just making it very dramatic.
Yeah.
Then they show one of those little montages of her, like, just non-stop talking, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then at some point, John goes, like, do you want me to listen or do you want me to give my feedback?
Yeah.
And then she just keeps talking over it.
She's like, I just want to talk to you.
Yeah. She's like, I just want to talk to you. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, he never gets bored.
No. But, you know, that's a good communication skill, you know?
Yeah.
Clarifying what the other person needs from you.
But we do learn that apparently Lisa called Whitney and gave her some quote friendly advice. So that will come up later.
Which Whitney did not characterize as friendly advice.
It doesn't sound like friendly advice to me. But. So then Heather and Whitney go to buy like ski gear. They're making like a joke about the boots squeaking, sounding like a grandma's bed when you're like fucking on it or something.
Okay.
Like that. Right?
No, I don't remember that.
She was like, eh.
Oh. I don't know.
And she said it sounds like a grandma's mattress.
Oh, I see.
So then Heather said she didn't have much fun at the party because of how Lisa immediately dismissed her when she walked up to say hi.
Yeah.
And so then Whitney's like, oh, me too. Like, oh, I didn't have fun at the party either because of Lisa. And apparently she called her. And on the phone with her, she was like saying, don't disrespect my business, blah, blah, blah. If you talk about this again, I will tell everyone that you are a swinger. That's how it went.
We'll talk about the rumors and the nastiness.
I know. Yeah, she's like, she threatened me with rumors, and I was like, yeah. Little Miss High Horse about rumors over here.
I know, and a shocking turn of events. And by turn of events, I mean this was the first, so.
Yeah.
I guess the shocking turn of events is that at least it's very anti-rumor now.
Yeah. But Whitney's just mad at, like, basically she's mad about that. Even if it didn't go exactly like, don't talk about this again or I will say this rumor, she's just mad that Lisa's basically already trying to bring up rumors on camera to make her look like some kind of, like, salacious person. But Whitney, like, has already been, like, excommunicated from the church for, like, sleeping with someone outside of her marriage, like, getting a divorce, all this stuff. So it does kind of feel like here's Lisa, who's on her high horse for becoming a Mormon at some point in her life, threatening to, like, degrade the other person who's already been excommunicated from the church.
Yeah.
So that's the undertones of it all.
It's also funny that a town that's, like, so rigid with, you know, mm-hmm. Mormon, what do you call that? Culture or religious culture. Mm-hmm. It's has a huge swinger community. Cause you know, a lot, the implication is that a lot of, like, those people just making it sound like they're, you know, that's what Mormons do.
Yeah. Well, she was saying, like, polygamy is, like, a big part of, like, the origins of Mormon church.
Uh-huh.
So I guess a modern-day polygamy is kind of swinging.
But just that they've, like, worked that into their psyche of being, like, somehow okay, even though other
things
are
not. Well, it's the same thing about, like, soaking.
Yeah. Okay. If you don't know that that is, please look it up. I don't know if we should talk about it.
I'm not saying that it is a, it's a rumor, I feel like, that people do that.
Yeah. Anyways.
But I just mean, it's like, in any religion, people are going to find a way around it. It's like they're getting plastic surgery because they say that the Bible says it's okay, or that they should, basically.
Right.
So, I mean, people, you know, cherry pick what they want from religion. Okay, so then we see Whitney at home alone. But her dad, Steve, comes over.
Yeah.
They don't really have a talk in this moment, but I do feel like in, I don't know, maybe they, like, maybe he made them cut it or something, but didn't in last week's last time on, they showed him in this exact scene, like, crying to her, saying, like, I didn't think I'd be sitting here, like, I have, like, telling my daughter I'm a drug addict or something like that. I remember him crying and saying that, but maybe it wasn't in this episode.
Yeah, maybe it's I think it was like the season on.
Okay. Because in this, Whitney basically tells us, the audience, in her confessional, she grew up a daddy's girl. Like, she, her dad was her best friend. Then once her dad got divorced, he started on painkillers and then abusing painkillers. And that's been happening for 10 years now. And she feels like she's the only one that's gotten him out of things, like, financially and through things mentally, too.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he was a self-made millionaire from owning a hair studio.
Very,
very Sean.
Angie K. Mm-hmm. Sean,
yeah. But then now he, like, has lost all that money and she is helping him financially.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sad because you know how this turns out now.
I know,
with him, like, they don't have a relationship anymore. He's and somehow involved. Like, she's not very clear about what kind of abuse she experienced as a child, but it seems
it's implied that it's to do with him.
Yeah, so it's just like kind of, and so now watching it back, it's kind of, it's like awkward.
Mm-hmm. But so basically, in this scene, the two of them, nothing happens. But juxtapose that with her saying all this in her confessional. Then they're trying to make that kind of like what the scene's about, even though I think it wasn't.
Right.
Because at the end, he says something like, it's hard, you know, it's really hard. And I was like, I bet they weren't even talking about this.
Yeah.
And I bet he didn't want to talk about it on camera at the moment.
It's really strange to be in a position where you have to, like, take care of, not, it's not the same as, like, a parent having, like, a chronic health issue. I mean, I guess addiction is a health issue, but I mean, It's not like they broke a leg and they need help getting around, you know, and you take care of them that way. It's like a much more like serious, like they become like a dependent type role.
Yeah.
And that's just weird, especially even though addiction, I mean, addiction is an illness. It still is. I don't know. It feels like a different category because it's like something somebody's doing to themselves, mm-hmm. even though that may not exactly be the case. It's just the whole thing's, you know, I feel bad.
Yeah.
For people.
It's also sad because like, not only does it take financial stuff like with hospitals and rehab and stuff like that, but also it takes money to supply the addiction. So I like going from millionaire to nothing is a lot of money. And then Whitney's like now the one putting that money toward it.
Yeah.
Or toward the help.
And I think, I mean, I know we haven't crossed the bridge yet of like her talking about all that stuff and the stress it puts on their marriage. But I think it was a good example of like how you can't help people until they're ready to help themselves. Mm-hmm. If, you know, even though you may want to like save them from themselves in these situations, like I think, I mean, I say this is not a medical professional at all, obviously, but it's just most of the time it seems like if you have to wait for them to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then Meredith and Seth go to a bar for dinner. And he says she looks beautiful tonight, all this stuff. He appreciates her not being on her phone because she's always on her phone. And then he kind of drops the bomb. Who have you told that we're separated?
He starts it off saying, like, I thought he was like, something happened. Like somebody said it to him. So I thought this was going to be like a, who did you tell? Because it's getting around. Mm-hmm. But that's not where the conversation went.
I think it's because they're doing it on camera now. He wants to know who all on the cast knows and if it's going to be a storyline. That's what I assumed.
And then she looked uncomfy, and I think he made it a storyline.
I thought the exact same thing. I think he was bringing it up to her to be like, what's this narrative going to go like on camera? And she kind of was like, oh, I didn't know we were going to talk about it on camera.
Yeah.
But now it's going to be the whole season.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad, honestly, if it wasn't, then maybe they would have broken up fully.
Exactly. Yeah. Because she was trying to hide it.
Yeah, she was.
Which is a super rookie move.
Yeah.
Anyway, like if you go on the Housewives and you're married, you know, people are going to know.
Yeah. So she basically says that like the amount of times that they've moved, him living away from her, them trying to run both their businesses separately, having kids, just kind of like made them really disconnected, the two of them. And I don't know, they both kind of say like, we have to put in the work if we want this marriage to last. And they say they want it to last. Then they do this whole thing where he's like, go through my phone. Look, we can trust each other. And she's like, no, I don't need to go through your phone. And he's like, let me go through your phone. She's like, no. And then he's like, that's because you don't trust me. And I don't, like, there's no trust here. All this stuff. And then I was like,
yeah, this is weird. Well.
But then they're like, let's have fun and drink.
Yeah, I know. It was weird because it, to me, it seems like. Usually when somebody's doing that, if maybe it's like they've been accused of cheating, he's like, I don't mind you going through my phone, but like, but it seems like he wants to go through her phone.
Yeah, he thinks he does.
She's cheating.
That's what it seems like he's implying.
But it's very, but so therefore the, you offering like to give your phone doesn't mean anything. Cause really you're just using
really
that.
You want to go through her
phone. To just go through her phone. Yeah. So just ask to go through it, like her phone. Cause you just say you don't trust her.
Yeah.
Like that would have this whole like little pony show. But yeah. What did you think about the phone thing?
I thought the same thing. It was like, okay, you just want to see her. Like, you're not trusting her.
Well, no, what I mean is she was saying, and like outside of cheating and stuff, she was saying she doesn't think it's right. Like, she didn't want to look at his phone. She doesn't think, like, you should do that.
Well, what she said was like, the messages sent to you are for you, not for me, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. I do feel that way. I feel like it's good to have, like, some boundaries.
Yeah,
I mean, we have the passwords to each other's phone, and like, can go. Like, I'm literally on your phone right now because mine's recording. But like, I just don't. I do kind of think like you should be able to have your own private things and like that your business is your business. Like,
yeah, I've never
gone through your DMs or anything like that.
Right. And I felt, I was like, I've never really thought about it, but I do feel the same. Like anytime, like if we've been in the car and I'm on your like Spotify, your phone for whatever, and then you get a message, like it's so I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to. It's not like any, you know, it's just a feeling of like, oh, somebody sent this to you, like, but not privately. I mean, I guess, yes.
It's like if I had a conversation with a friend while you were at home.
Yeah, it's like it's like eavesdropping. Anyways. Okay.
Okay, so then we go to the skiing slopes. Mary's running late because she's waiting on a Chanel coat to come, which does come. And she says, some ski gear make you get a wedgie, and then you're reaching for your wedgie and you can never get it out. And Chanel doesn't do that.
Yeah, okay.
Jen is wearing all leopard suit, which does look good, I would say.
Yeah.
She says she looks like she's ready for the Black Diamonds, which is like the highest level of ski slope, I think. But she can't actually leave the bunny slope with an instructor even.
I can't remember. Sometimes watching this, I can't remember my original thoughts about Jen. Like, how did I feel exactly about Jen at the beginning? Because now it's like colored with the knowledge of like what she's actually doing. But I don't like, I can't remember. I want to be able to like, I didn't like her then and I don't like her now. But she just does too much.
We liked her.
I can't, I guess. I can't.
I mean, she's good TV, no matter what.
Yeah.
It got to a point where the whole yelling and screaming thing was like, ready for her to be off the TV.
Yeah, there were no levels.
It's like, it's fun to imagine if this person really was a bajillionaire or whatever. Obviously, she wasn't that, but buku's of money. She has like a fun squad around her that always are at her house that she's paying to basically like do fun shit with her. Mm-hmm. That is a fun concept if it was really what it was.
Yeah.
But instead, it was shrouded in all of this darkness with the company, which then led to darkness with her thinking she was going to get caught. So then it just kind of turned into like a bunch of people paid to be in a house where she yells at them. So it's like, it's fun to see little moments. Like in this, she was saying like, I trained last night how to ski, and it was just like her on rollerblades, like running around an obstacle course that they set up in her house. Like if that was really what it was, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
A fun life to like see. But instead we know now that it was never that. So yeah. Okay. I did think it was really funny. They show Mary getting ready to ski. They never once show her outside of the ski lodge. They show everyone else skiing.
No, they did. She was on the bunny hill, and then she went into the snowbank, and then she just made snow angels.
That was Jen.
No.
Yeah, Jen was the one making snow angels.
I thought it was Mary.
No. You think Mary's going to put her Chanel coat in the snow if she doesn't have to?
Now that you say that. But I filed that in my brain as Mary, so oh well, I messed it up.
I did think the bunny or the snow angel part was funny because Jen was just like, "Look at me, I'm doing a snow angel," and the instructor's like, "Good job." He's like, "I'm not here to watch you do snow angels, but I guess I have to just go along with whatever you're doing."
Yeah.
So then I guess Meredith never leaves the bunny hills either, but then like at some point they show her and Whitney and Heather talking at the top of the mountain. So to me that says producers were like, Meredith, go talk. She had to go all the way up the mountain.
No, I thought Meredith was a good skier.
No, at some point Heather says it was
Lisa, Jen, and Mary that were on the bunny hill.
Oh wait, you're right. That is what it is.
Yeah. Because Meredith was like, yeah, let's go skiing.
I think I wrote down Meredith instead of Lisa by accident.
Yeah.
You're right. So in this moment, Whitney's saying that on the phone with the whole swingers conversation, she doesn't mention swingers, but she says that Lisa also said, like, as your big sister, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Meredith's like, well, I think she's just saying because she's older than you. But Whitney's saying, like, no, it seemed condescending.
Mm-hmm.
And Meredith says, I've known Lisa for 8 years. She is nothing but kind and loving and all this stuff. And I'm like, girl, you don't know what's coming.
The nastiness.
But Whitney, Meredith's like, well, maybe I think you should mention that to her at some point. that like you thought that was the whole thing was condescending and talk about the phone call. Apparently not meaning to mention it at dinner that night.
Right. I forgot. This is, they're still new.
Yeah.
This is the perfect time to bring it up.
Yeah, exactly. So then they get done skiing and they all change. And apparently it took 3.5 hours to get ready for dinner at the ski lodge.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what were they doing?
I don't know.
They missed their reservation. Lisa says she can't get hurt before Sundance, so that's why she stayed on the bunny slopes. Mm. But not, then I'm also just thinking about when they like went race car driving and Lisa was like, I'm so excited. I love race. I love driving fast and all this stuff. And then she drove like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
So then they mention a little bit about Whitney's dad wanting to go to Mario's church. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Mormon church, but he wants to go back to church. And then Lisa's like, well, I joined the Mormon church and it made my life so much better.
Yeah.
And then they all are kind of like, well, the Mormon church is judgy of people. And Lisa's like, what do you mean? And Whitney's like, I felt judged by you.
Although she was, she always makes a distinction between the culture of Mormonism and the like actual scripture of Mormonism being different. So the scripture is fine, and then the culture is just people being judgy,
right? And which Whitney's like,
but yeah, the culture is based off
you
of the
are
scripture,
being judgy, so, yeah. Your culture,
right?
I did like Lisa keeps cutting Whitney off, and Mary is like, let her talk,
yeah,
which I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
Mary was doing that. Whitney basically says after Mary's party, she felt threatened, not wanting to bring up the swinger rumor here because she doesn't want people to start talking about that instead. But basically just saying, like, on the phone, she felt threatened.
I didn't threaten you.
Yeah. Lisa says, I don't threaten people. She says, basically, like, I was just saying I wouldn't have said the things that you said about the gift I gave you. And then Lisa says, I don't care about you enough to judge you.
Yes.
Very loving and kind thing to say.
Right.
Heather said, that's rude.
Mm-hmm. Because it was.
And said, it's hard to hear you're coming at it from a place of love and kindness because you've been mean to us. Basically.
Right. You can't go from saying, as a big sister, mm-hmm. and then saying, I don't care enough about you to judge you.
But she said, my intent is always good.
Which, you know, come on.
Yeah. I can't help how you guys perceive me.
Right.
And Heather says, oh, so you're okay with us perceiving you as dismissive and mean? And Lisa said, if being busy is dismissive, then sure. Talking about Sundance again, I guess.
Yeah. Is Lisa still Lisa, you know?
Yeah.
Well, she's much better about confrontation and stuff now. And I don't think she's this disconnected or like shallow, but, you know.
I just love that Heather's not letting it back down because she goes, oh, so calling me a good time girl and saying I flashed everybody was out of love and kindness?
Yeah, yeah.
She keeps saying, oh, this is love and kindness? Oh, this is love and kindness?
Yeah, yeah.
And Lisa's just like, oh, that was just one time in a dorm. And Heather's like, if it was even one time, I would have been thrown out.
And which, I mean, according to code, sure. But I'm sure there's like...
According to BYU code, you're not allowed to have gay sex. But I'm sure there is some of that happening.
Yeah, there's like wild things happening.
Or you're not allowed to have sex at all. Right. But you're also not allowed to be gay.
So if you flash somebody, it doesn't mean you're going to get thrown out. Like, they're not going to always know everything that happens.
Yeah.
But the point's like... I still think she was just saying she was a goody two-shoes and she wished she wasn't. So, I mean, I believe her.
Yeah. But then Heather's like, oh, so you remember this one time at a dorm, but you don't remember me at all the rest of school? Interesting.
Or after.
Yeah, or after. Interesting.
Right.
And so then Lisa says this thing like, thumbs up. Okay, fuck you. And I was like, what is happening here? But then I remembered, and then I remember even like my mom texting me about this. Because... apparently what they're talking about is that Lisa had texted Heather and she just replied with a thumbs up emoji.
Yeah.
And then Heather says, no, if it's two thumbs up, that means fuck you. If it's one thumbs up, that means thumbs up. And then they kind of like do this whole thing, like in the confessionals, like asking what people think it means. Then the producer asks Heather, what did you mean, fuck you, by the thumbs up? And she says, oh, yes. So she did mean it, even though she's denying it at the table.
Yeah. Do you remember that being a thing?
I think it's kind of like, okay. Like, it doesn't really mean fuck you, but it means like, okay, I guess that's in the conversation.
Okay. I don't know. To me, thumbs up wasn't ever really like a bad thing.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a Gen X situation.
I think it's just like, if you're having a conversation and then someone ends it with a thumbs up, it's kind of like, oh, okay, this conversation's done.
Mm.
So then Jen basically is like, I don't think Heather would like be doing all this if she didn't care for you, Lisa. So like, this is out of care. And Heather's like, yeah, it is. And she's like, that's how I felt with Mary too. Like, I wouldn't be screaming and arguing with her if I didn't care about her friendship. And Lisa said, I'm sorry. That's it. I'm done. And so then everyone's like, okay, I guess as long as you're good to move forward, then we can move forward. And she says,
I said, I'm sorry. And that's like, and I mean it. And that's all I'm going to say.
Literally. Yeah. Just like she wants, just like a thumbs up.
Yeah.
She wants to end the conversation and not have to take any accountability for it.
Yeah. Although I do think, okay, the one thing she did say that I think she was right was I don't know. She was like, I don't know what it is about me that triggers you, Heather. But until you figure that out, we can't really like mesh, which I think was true. Cause I do think Heather is over triggered. I think Heather is right that Lisa is dismissive of her, but Heather's feelings, hurt feelings, are over.
Well, I think it took
a little more than
4 years for Lisa to understand why Heather was triggered. And the why is because Lisa gets to do all these things that she wants to do and still call herself Mormon. But when Heather did any of those things, she was excommunicated.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like Lisa has thing like could do things that Heather did, but still lives, like you said, still lives a good life. Yeah, and exactly. She's right. And she has like, she's kind of an it girl in their scene. And that person also puts her off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I get it, but I'm just saying her reaction was,
it's like she's judgmental to other people. Lisa is. But then on top of that, she's the one that's like technically the bad Mormon. But then she's still allowed to be in the society and be the Mormon and be everything that Heather, like, I think ideally would want to be.
I'm just saying, I think it was interesting that Lisa clocked that something was going on deeper than just, mm-hmm. You're mad that I dismissed you. Because in general, if somebody did that, you shouldn't be that upset. Like somebody you don't really know.
Yeah, just says hi and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then on the next time on, Lisa says, okay, Lisa is in the car with Jack and Henry, and Jack is driving for the first time, and she says, say a prayer. And Jack is, like, pulling out of the driveway, and he says, I have a strong pulling out game.
A strong pull-out game.
Yeah. Just weird.
Yeah, it's just
so, like, high school boy to say that, I think.
Yeah.
So they show Mary's church.
Not in front of your mom.
I know. They show Mary's church and she's like, there's like a bunch of screaming. Then we see the iconic Jen putting her legs in the air and Brooks being mad at the vagina in his face.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to be fair, I forgot like his reaction fully. He does, even in this little tiny clip, look very uncomfortable and look at the camera like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. Also, she's saying, screaming, grinder, grinder, grinder.
True. Weird. But then I did kind of forget about this part that I guess like Jen has like wanted to sleep over at Meredith's house. And Brooks is like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Then Heather has this kind of like party for all the girls at Beauty Lab that are pregnant. And at the party, Jen starts yelling because Whitney told her that Meredith went to Mary's church. And I think the reason she's yelling is because she thinks Meredith is like defying her by like being friends with Mary, even though they fucking resolved their issues, like everyone thought. So yeah. I don't understand why she's mad. Then we see the iconic flapper party. Which I don't think next time on is when we're going to get the grandpa fucker line. But I do think that's going to be like where the episode ends.
Yeah.
Is right before that. But we do see Jen already starting to get mad at Meredith because she's talking to Mary. So I kind of forgot about this whole storyline because Meredith and Mary are such good friends now that it was such a point of conflict season one.
Right. Jen already being so controlling.
Yeah. That. Yeah. All right. Well, that is where we end it. Did you have any final thoughts? Anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, it's just interesting to how vintage it all seems.
Vintage.
Not really, but
I will say in my mind, I think Heather was like the main, almost like Kyle Richards of the show. And I do think she still is, but I forgot how much they show Jen.
Like
she is, they are always at her house. They're always filming the Shaw Squad. They always have little clips like that. And it just feels like she's the main character in the production mind.
Yeah. I think she was, I think out of all of them, her and I would say her and Heather were the most comfortable on camera and took to like seemed the most natural when talking about like their lives and also their like the there's been other times where the rest of them seem a little awkward, like you say, you don't know, like they're just kind of they're not sure what they're doing, and I think Heather and Jen kind of slid into it a little easier.
I forgot to mention this part, but they show a flashback from 4 months ago, which I guess again was kind of like pre-filming. And it's Meredith, Whitney, and Lisa. And Lisa says to Meredith, we need to help Whitney out on the fashion department. Which is just funny because even in that clip, Whitney was wearing something really nice, I thought.
Yeah.
And Whitney's like, what's wrong with my fashion? And she says, Lisa says, it's just a little Utah. Which is so funny because I would say of all of them, Lisa has the most Utah fashion.
Oh.
Like always something's a little off.
Oh. Even though she has
the boots.
A buyer in Milan or wherever.
You know what they say? You can take the buyer to Milan, but you can't take the fashion out of Utah.
You can't. Okay.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting because to me, sometimes the stretch of them is a little too far for me, but I think Whitney always looks the least Utah. Like she always looks like she's trying to do something different than everybody else.
But maybe that's what's Utah about it. I don't know what Utah fashion is.
To me, Utah fashion is like chevrons and chunky necklaces.
White woman.
All right. Well, let's leave it at that. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you're listening. Rate it 5 stars, please. And follow us on Instagram. We have an Instagram. It's at Privileged Twinks. I normally post like memes and stuff I see on Twitter throughout the week. Those memes have slowly been harder and harder to find because we're in the off season. But I'll still make a post every week with the episode title and a place where we can comment about this particular episode. If you want to follow along with us, we are rewatching these every Tuesday and putting out new episodes every Wednesday. So if you want to follow along, watch them by Wednesday of every week. And we'll be back next week for episode 3. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dravis.
And this is Privileged Twinks. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.